Welcome to the Run for God Run Club, where you will find God in a runner's space.
Welcome to the Run for God Run Club. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail, where you can in turn inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I'm your running host, Dean Thompson. We are once again coming to you from the Upward Sports Studio. Well, we're going to talk a lot about change and starting over in this episode. I think you're going to find some nuggets to help you with your journey within the next hour. And that's guaranteed, or your money back. Oh, wait a minute. Nobody's paying for this, are they? Well, the offer still stands. Joining me for that and much more is Run for God founder Mitchell Hollis.
So what do we always say? We're experts on our opinion, and it's worth every dime you pay, right?
That's exactly right.
So yeah. I think we've determined that podcasting remotely is not near as good. It's not near as fun, and it's nowhere near as engaging.
Yeah,
I think what I've determined, you know, we've kind of learned this through COVID with the Zoom calls, and there's so much verbal communication goes on in something like a podcast or even a meeting that you just don't get online. So if you watched last week's, or if you listened to last week's, you were in New Jersey, I was here, and it just wasn't as good, and it wasn't as fun.
No, you're right. Yeah. So I'm glad to be back here. I'm glad to be back home. Oh, my goodness.
So you were in New Jersey how long?
We were there for almost a week.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll talk more about that here later. There's definitely some positive things.
Sure.
But, whew, man, I love Cahutta, Georgia.
Yeah. I spent the past 2 days in Spartanburg. I was up at the Upward headquarters.
Yeah.
We've been kind of sharpening the end of the pencil for the new app and the whole website. And man, Dean, I'm telling you, I sat in a room full of people yesterday that were just miles smarter than me. Brian and his team, and golly bum, it's Andrew. They're just they talk a different language,
yeah,
than we do. But it's exciting. I mean,
it's kind of fun to hang around with those guys.
Yeah, later this year, this is going to launch, and it's going to be a game changer for what we're doing here. So I'm hats off to Brian and Andrew and their whole team up there, everybody, Thomas, that's working on this new app and experience. And they've got a heart for Christ too. That's the refreshing thing, to be in a room with people that are working kind of in a corporate setting, but everybody in that room yesterday, their heart is to reach people for Christ. And that's just incredible.
It is. Yeah. Well, we had a Facebook post from last week from Greg Chance. He said, "Felt kind of blah this morning. No real reason for it. I still got out there, which is the important thing. Listening to Run for God number 219. Tomorrow, I go to the office, but it's supposed to be a high of 106, which translates to about 92 at lunch. So I'm going to make a valiant attempt to run at 5 a.m.
He goes on to say that his splits today were 12:44, 12:22, 12:35, 13:03, and 12:23. That a high of 106. I don't know. Did it show?
He's in California. I looked it up. It looks like he's in California. So I think he's in the, you know, that hot arid area of California, I guess.
Wow.
But yeah, that's
of course
warm.
They're in a heat wave out there right now. I did see on the news yesterday that they're in a pretty substantial heat wave out there. But
yeah. Oof. Man, this guy has a great story. If you go back and kind of look at, he has struggled with weight.
Yeah.
And he's back to running again. This is the theme of this podcast, starting over. He's been able to get back out there. He's lost weight. Looks like he's got some interest in music. He's a keyboard player. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. One other thing, though, that caught my eye about this guy is he is a creative writer. And we have not seen his story yet, so I will be expecting very, very soon. I hate to call people out right here on the podcast, but I'm calling him out. Like Greg, come on. It sounds like you got a great story. Let's write it down.
Exactly.
And let's share it.
We were actually talking about the submit your story section on the website yesterday and how it needs to be more prominent.
Yeah.
And easier to get to and easier to do. So yeah, Greg, if you're a creative writer, we need to hear your story. We're going to hear one from another creative writer today.
That's right. Yes, we are.
He's becoming a household name.
Well, the other cool thing about this post is he's getting it done, right?
Sure.
He's not making excuses. He's even saying, hey, I didn't feel like it, but I did it anyway. And and that's great. And it looks like his run went fairly well. I mean, his splits were pretty consistent. So sometimes you just have to make plans around the things that are going to get in your way. And he looked and he saw 106 degrees. That's not in my plans. I don't want to do that. So I'm going to do something different. And so I hope that next day he did get up early and he did get that run in, because the worst thing in the world is to just wait for something to come up and go, I just can't do it, when you had a chance to plan around it.
Well, and I was having this conversation this morning too. So many times we think that workouts or runs or walks or whatever they are, it has to be an event, you know, because we talk about put it on your schedule, mm-hmm. you know, put it in your schedule just like as if it were a meeting. But even if it's not on your schedule, Dean, it doesn't have to be, you know, sometimes we have it in our mind that we've got to get ready for it and then we have to do the thing and then we have to wind down from it. I mean, last night was a great example. We were on the road for 5 hours coming back from Spartanburg. I got back right at dark. I'm not kidding. I got out of the truck. I walked in, took my jeans off. I put shorts on, still had a polo on.
Yep.
And I was out the door within 5 minutes of pulling in the garage because I wanted to get 3 or 4 miles in, walk before bed. And I didn't do anything to get ready. I was walking in a polo, which I do all the time. My wife makes fun of me for that. Because at the end of the day, you know, usually I wear a polo a lot of times, and I don't want to dirty up a T-shirt. So I just put shorts on. And,
sure.
You know, I'm out here on Lake Francis Row where everybody's driving by. So I'm, you know, I got my black socks on, a polo. I guess I'm there now, you know.
Yeah.
I used to make fun of my grandpa for that. And I'm there now. But point is, don't build it up to something that it's not.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's getting out the door and getting it in and getting back in and doing, you know, going on about your day.
Yeah, yeah. I've talked about it a number of times. I've done it. We've talked about that. We've talked on here about running in the airport. That's when
I've run in jeans before.
Yep.
And Sanooks. And,
yeah. Whatever it
takes. There is no excuse.
That's right.
Or don't allow there to be an excuse.
And you know what I think is sometimes it's really fun to do something different,
yeah.
too, right? I was just in a town that I don't run in, and I had the opportunity to just go out and explore and run mm-hmm. all over the place, and it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. So, you know, sometimes, you know, running in jeans may not be fun, but it's a story.
But again, it's kind of like the snow or the storms. It's kind of like, yeah, I did that.
That's right. Yeah. Our trivia question from last week. And I said this may be the toughest question we've ever posed, but it's a common answer. It's something that people know about, but it's just the way that it was worded, I guess. And it says, tell me what the definition, this is the definition for. And I said, a complex multifactorial concept that represents the sum of metabolic, cardiorespiratory, biomechanical, and neuromuscular efficiency during running. What is that? And so the answer to that is running economy. We don't talk about running economy a lot, but running economy is something that is kind of the sum of all the different things that go into your run, right? Mm-hmm. And running economy is at a given effort, and usually we express that in VO2, at a given effort, how fast do I go?
Mm-hmm.
So you take
it's the sum of all the parts.
Right. And this is what Wikipedia says. Oxygen consumption, or VO2, is the most commonly used method for measuring running economy, as the exchange of gases in the body, specifically oxygen and carbon dioxide, closely reflects energy metabolism. Those who are able to consume less oxygen while running at a given velocity are said to have a better running economy. Running economy is calculated by measuring VO2 while running on a treadmill at various constant speeds for anywhere between 3 and 15 minutes. So again, this is taking into account all the factors. How fast do I go using a certain amount of oxygen, mm-hmm. right? And of course, a lot of things make a difference. And Tim Noakes talks about that in The Lore of Running. He's a doctor, a recreational runner, and he describes these different variables as vertical motion while running, the ability of the muscles to absorb energy during the shock of landing and transfer it to push off, biomechanical factors, technique and type of activity, fitness and training, age, fatigue, gender, race, weight of clothing and shoes, mm-hmm. and environmental conditions. I mean, that's a lot to take in, and it all makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of compare it. The first thing that pops in my head is fuel economy on a car.
Yeah.
You know, it takes into consideration aerodynamics, what speed you're going, the weight of the vehicle. All these different things produce your fuel economy.
And what happens when you add an extra 1,000 pounds to your vehicle?
Sure. The fuel economy goes down.
Right.
But I've always said, for me, I call it the sweet spot. The sweet spot in running, where everything just feels right. And usually for me, that's a pace. You know, back when I was running a lot, it was 8:30. You just feel like you can run all day long.
Yeah.
And when you get slower, as you learned,
yeah,
with your 100-mile attempt, it's harder, mm-hmm. to go slower. And just like your car, you know, your fuel economy doesn't necessarily go up when you go slower in your car.
Yeah.
Because the car becomes less efficient. And so for that reason, I've just always called it the sweet spot. You know, yeah. What is your sweet spot?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And interestingly, of course, marathon runners or distance runners are typically better and, mm-hmm. have better running economy than sprinters do. Mm-hmm. But why is that? Well, because sprinters have to use an abundance of energy all at one time. Sprinters come off the ground higher than distance runners do. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of factors that make distance runners in particular more economical when it comes to running. And it explains a little bit about why sprinters really can't run long distances. There's more to it than just running economy, but that's part of the reason, is because they're—
And vice versa.
That's right.
I mean, compare exactly. it to the drag racing car and the Toyota Prius. I mean,
yeah.
The Toyota Prius is never going to be able to do what the drag racer does. And the drag racer is never going to have fuel economy the Toyota right. Prius has.
That's a good
point.
So
are you a drag racer or are you a Toyota Prius?
Yeah.
I'm a Toyota Prius, I think.
Yeah.
That's weird to say.
It says, an ideal body for optimal running economy would include height slightly smaller than average for males and slightly greater for females, low body fat percentage, leg mass distributed closer to the hip joint, and a narrow pelvis with smaller than average feet.
I've never heard the feet thing.
Well, you know, it has,
all the others make sense, but the feet didn't make sense.
Well, the reason is because you have more weight at the end of that pendulum.
Mm.
The more weight you have, the more energy it takes to transfer it. So the bigger the feet, the same thing goes for when you, if you'll notice, you'll look at the Africans, mm-hmm. and you'll notice they have very small calves, little tiny little mm-hmm. skinny calves. Their legs are lighter at the end of their mm-hmm. legs than ours are.
That makes sense.
And that helps with their running economy. That's why shoes sometimes make a difference. You know, if you have a lighter shoe, you're a little bit more economical in your running. Now, that doesn't mean you should wear the lightest shoe you can find. If you're out there and you're like, oh, I need to buy lighter shoes. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Find the shoe that works for you. Don't buy something you don't need. And then it talks about how training in warm temperatures and how when you do that, your core temperature goes up, mm-hmm. and that training your body to be able to handle that makes you a more efficient runner, economy-wise. Same thing goes for altitude. Mm-hmm. When you run at altitude, your body becomes more efficient at handling oxygen.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it makes you... So all of these things that make it hard for us to run, hill runs, running in the heat, running at altitude, all of those things... They make us better runners and more efficient runners.
Yeah, and paying attention to that. You know, I don't do this. I have done this in the past, and I know people that do it all the time. But, you know, you can set the setting in most newer vehicles to your instant fuel mileage.
Yeah.
And I know people that will drive. That would drive me crazy with that up all the time.
Yeah.
But they're constantly adjusting to get that best fuel economy. And but that's what we should be doing as runners, is paying attention to the things, you know, all the way down to nutrition. What makes our runs easier? And the more you pay attention to that, you know, maybe even journal, you know, what worked today, what this, not that type thing. And you'll start to figure out where your sweet spot is. But not only that, what helps you get to that sweet spot the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and if you think, you know, one of the things that it mentions in here is biomechanics. Biomechanics is another thing. That means you're running form, basically. That plays a little part in it as well. And so, is it worth it to work a little bit on your running form? A little bit. It's not, but understand that that's only when people talk about, for example, their arms. You know, people talk all the time about what their arms do when they run and how I can be a better runner if I could just move my arms differently. Yes and no, you can be, but understand that that running form is just a small piece, because you got all these other factors that go into running economy. And is it good to improve it? Sure, it's good to improve it, but don't think you're going to all of a sudden run, you know, go from a 8-minute mile to a 7-minute mile because you changed your running form.
Well, and the problem is, a lot of times you see, and I've been guilty of this, I'm sure you have too, but we'll get focused on this one little thing, like, you know, running form. You know, I need to adjust my running form, and if I do that, it's going to make me this much faster runner. We read and we talk to people, and meanwhile, we're eating, you know, 5 cheeseburgers during the day.
Yeah.
That would be a much better place to focus, you know, and I'm not throwing rocks because I've been there before. You know, we get focused on this thing over here when there's this huge thing over here that we just don't want to deal with.
That's right.
It would be a much better use of our time to focus there.
Good point.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
All right, we just called somebody out for not sharing their story yet. Now, to be fair to him, he is fairly new to Run Club, so I don't want to call him out too loud. But there are some of you out there who have been part of Run Club for a very long time, who still have not submitted your story. And so I'll expect those in the next week. So get on it.
You're expecting a flood of entries this next week.
I am.
So go to runforgod.com, go to the Submit Your Story tab, which you can find on the back side of the login, and get that into us.
Absolutely. Well, I got this story from, it's about a lady named Caitlin Donner, and she recently set a new world record down in Florida. She ran a 5.11 mile. Now, you look at that and you think, a 5.11 mile, that's pretty fast, especially for a female. She did it pushing a stroller.
Have we talked about this lady before? I want to say her name rings a bell.
I don't know that we have.
Okay.
Well, apparently she was going to try this record a little over a year ago. She was going to try it, and she went in and she applied for the Guinness Book of World Records stuff and all that stuff, and life happened. She never tried the thing, and then she wound up, it expired. That time she had to do it in, that window expired. Well, in the meantime, somebody ran, the record at the time was 6 minutes, and somebody ran a 5:24, so it got a lot harder for her by waiting.
Maybe we've mentioned that one. Did we mention that one?
That may be.
I've heard the stroller record before.
That may be, so, yeah. So it got down to 5:24, and then she decided, well, I think I can still do better than that, and so she reapplied. She got her son was now 20 months old, so
He's heavier.
Much longer, and he was going to be way too heavy. So she had to do it soon. So she had, and she's got a five-year-old, and so she did. She gathered some people together on a local track. It was fun, she said, because her five-year-old was running back and forth across the track, cheering for her mom. And but she ran 5:11, and she'd not been she had been in the Olympic Trials Marathon. So she had been training for long distance stuff. So mm-hmm. to throw this mile in was a little bit different than what she had done. She did a little bit of speed work and boom, she was ready. And this is what she did. So a 5:11 mile pushing a stroller. Congratulations to her. That is for pretty sure. impressive. That is
very impressive.
Well, we talked about Greg and his new beginning after weight loss. And there are many things that can happen to interrupt our progress. You know, a lot of times an injury is one of those things. I mentioned life happening and getting in the way, and all sorts of things can happen. Sometimes we just need a new start.
Could be building a house and a merger all at the same time.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. So Jerry Snyder, our resident comedian, decided he was going to write a story about starting over. When your dreams turn to dust, vacuum. That comes from Wolfgang Reiby, who is an author. Many years ago, I saw a picture of a bicycle chained to a street pole. The bike was halfway covered with snow. Icicles were hanging from the handlebars, and the caption below the picture read, "Some days, it's hard to get started." And in my case, it was not only hard to get started, it was even harder to start over. I had been an avid runner for decades, completing almost 50 marathons. Now, after a long stretch of injury and illness, I was once again a novice. No amount of complaining to my neighbor or howling at the moon was going to change the facts on my medical chart. Under the watchful eye of the doctor, I began training again and signed up for some 5K races, knowing they would, at least in the beginning, consist of more walking than running. I don't remember where I first heard this joke, but it had served me well in other times of adversity. Laughing about it now, I was certain would help me with my progress. Two farmers were talking after a terrible storm the night before. One said to the other, "How did you do in the storm last night?" "Well, I lost my hen house and all my chickens, but that's okay. I'm happy," he answered. His friend was puzzled. "How can you be happy if you lost your hen house and all of your chickens?" The other farmer laughed and leaned against his tractor. "Before the wind quit blowing, I had 3 new cows and a pickup truck," he said. So there is tip number 1 for dealing with loss. Take time to mourn your lost chickens, but then start looking for the gift in your situation, your new cows and pickup truck. Starting over can be done and it can be fun. That comes from Robert Schuller, minister. Not far from where I live is a running store where I buy my shoes and gear. They also offer training plans and group runs several days a week. I signed up to take part in a beginner's group for a half marathon 6 months down the road. Counting on low mileage and high enthusiasm, the goal here is to have a good time and make some new friends. I will never forget the night many years ago when I woke up to the sound of my dog barking frantically and sirens getting louder with each passing second. The house across the street was on fire. The next day, it appeared to be a total loss, but the owner had a different point of view. There was still a good foundation, and working with the magic of hammer, nails, and paint, he made that house look even better than before the tragedy. The lesson here is to have a good foundation, and your success at starting over is certain. I suggest Jesus as that foundation.
Man, Jerry did it once again. He just knocked it out of the park, didn't he?
Yeah, that's so much fun.
You know, I went back, for whatever reason, the story made me think of a quote that I've heard so many times, but I wanted to look it up this time, really find out how it was actually said. But it was the Thomas Edison light bulb quote that you always hear. But I found it, and it said in the 1920s, a journalist asked Thomas Edison how he felt to fail 1,000 times in his attempt to invent the incandescent bulb. He replied, "I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention that took 1,000 steps." And that's such a great illustration to go along with Jerry's story that, you know, sometimes you got to start over. It may feel like starting over, but it's simply another step in this thing we call life.
Yeah, yeah. I've been there too.
Sure.
You know, I went through, you know, I ran when I was young. I ran in college. I then had kids.
Mm-hmm.
When you have kids, it's a little harder to get out there, and it's certainly hard to be serious with it. I ran off and on a little bit, but I really had gotten let myself get out of shape. I gained 30 pounds while I was coaching my kids' baseball teams and basketball teams and other things. And eventually, when I was 39, because it was just before I turned 40, I decided I'm going to get back into running again. And so I started training for a local 5K, and I ran that local 5K, and oh my goodness, I couldn't break 20 minutes. Now, for a lot of people, they'll look at that and go, "Oh, woe is me."
I'm one of those.
But for me, not breaking 20 minutes was devastating.
That was a big deal, yeah.
I mean, like, I could break 20 minutes just in a training run. I did break 20 minutes
that
in a training run.
That would be like me not breaking 30.
Yeah.
It would just be horrible.
But I remember that having to start all over, and it took me a long time. Just like he talked about all these steps, it took me... You know, the next race, I ran 19-something. And then the next race, you know, I ran a little bit faster, and I kept getting faster. But it probably took me 3 or 4 years before I got back to where I felt like I was running fast again.
Yeah.
And you just got to be consistent with it and go after it. And, you know, I remember I also had a stress fracture when I was 45. I had to take 3 months off and felt like I was starting all over again there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand the starting over. And everybody's probably gone through it. You've been through it, and you just gotta get out there and get it done, and start doing. And eventually, it takes time, but you'll get there.
Yeah, the worst thing to do is start to look back at the way things were. You know, I used to could do this. I used to. Well, you can't now.
Yep.
So process that. And then move forward to wherever God's got planned for you in the future instead of just always looking back.
That's right. Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future." I guess that's probably one of the most popular scriptures in all the Bible. But you know, what I see about, you know, we always look at this maybe a little bit different. And I was thinking, here God is saying, I know the plans, right? Mm-hmm. God knows the plans. And those plans are good plans. But just like a training plan means nothing if it's on paper and you don't execute it, those plans are no good if you don't do something with those plans. And I think it's important for us to recognize that this is the same thing as God has this plan for our lives written on a piece of paper. And all we have to do is follow it. Mm-hmm. The plan is there. Mm-hmm. It exists. And I think sometimes we think, well, God has these, it's almost like this thing in the ether. No. He has a plan. Mm. And what we have to do is we have to find that plan and execute it. But
how many times do we wait for God to show up and do the work to give us a hope and a future?
Right.
That's what the trap we fall in is. Mm-hmm. Like, well, this is a promise from God. Yeah, but there's, I hate to say strings attached to it, but go to Galatians 6:9. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up."
Yeah.
There are conditions on many of God's promises. Now, when we're talking about salvation issue, no, there are no conditions if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But to reap a harvest of corn, what do you got to do? You got to plow the ground, you got to plant the seed, and you got to water the dirt. But many of us want corn without doing any of the other things.
No.
If I just hold corn in my hand, I'm not going to get beautiful green stalks of corn growing. But that's how foolish, and I'm putting myself in this category along with everybody else, that's how foolish many times we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're holding the corn in our hand, and we're like, God, you're not producing corn in my life. you gotta plow, you gotta sow, and you gotta water. And God will do his part. If you do those three things, God will bring forth a harvest. Every farmer knows this.
Yep.
Every farmer in history knows, if I plant the corn, plow the ground, and it gets water, you can bank on corn. There's many farm businesses that bank on that concept, and that's exactly what God's telling us in Scripture. Is He's going to do His part. You can bank on it, but we need to do our part as well.
That's right. Philippians 3:13, forgetting those which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Changing direction should be the name of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And you'll see why in Dean's thoughts, because I got kind of that same thing. When we make a change, we have to look forward. You know, you always talk about it's important to look back, and it is important to look back, but we need to be forward facing. We need to be always trying to make progress with what we're doing.
The windshield's got to be larger than the rearview mirror.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Yeah. Now, we need to have frames of reference from where we came from. Those are important things, just like you talked about.
Which is why we have the rearview mirror.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's fun to see where you came from, but always be looking toward that future. You know, I was communicating with somebody recently who was talking about, he was so frustrated with himself because he was in traffic and he had gotten frustrated in traffic, and he mentioned some of the things he didn't said that he wasn't proud of, and that he was so upset with himself for getting upset. I told him it was a good thing, because what's happening is God's trying to change the direction of his life. The Holy Spirit said, yeah, you probably, that's probably not who you are anymore. You probably want to change that. And it was a good thing. And that's one of the good things about changing direction is when we do that and we follow God's plan, like we were just talking about, the Holy Spirit will help keep us on that path if we'll listen for Him.
That's where conviction is so comforting. I mean, he was seeing it as not comforting because it stings, it hurts. But what he needs to realize is God was right there almost instantly. And that is, yes, it hurts when God's Holy Spirit through conviction addresses something in your life. Man, it is, but look to the good side of it.
Yep.
He was there. Not having the conviction, that's the worst case scenario.
That's exactly right. Romans 12:2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
I wanted to kind of go back because I like that part of the verse, but I love that whole verse. So the whole verse is and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I just can't read that verse without having and do not be conformed to this world, because everything around us, all day, every day, is saying conform to this world. And God is clearly saying, don't do that.
Yeah. 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 We see, this is a little bit different direction, but I see this from a running standpoint all the time. When you change direction, when you're renewed, you need to acknowledge that. How many times do we hear somebody say, well, I'm not a real runner?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you are.
Yeah. They haven't renewed their mind.
That's right.
On that subject, because they are.
That's right. And you need to renew your mind for sure. Yeah. And it happens to us spiritually. We're going to sometimes revert back to that old person, just like I was just talking about the guy that got upset in traffic. He's reverting back to his old person. We're going to do that occasionally. But we'll get back on track with the Holy Spirit's help. Question, what advice do you have for someone who has to start over?
You know, I thought this was a really interesting question. And because I just got done building a house, I looked at this question a little bit different. You know, building a house is in some way starting over. It's everything is new. You kind of have a clean slate. But there's two ways of looking at building a house. You can look at it as an opportunity, or you can look at it as a disaster. The guy across the street who his house burned down, he had the opportunity to build a house, which many people will look at it as a good thing. But if you're building a house because it burned down, you may not be looking at it that way, or you may look at it that way.
Yeah.
And even in almost always starting over, you can look at it one of two ways.
Yeah.
You can look at it as an opportunity, or you can look at it as a disaster. And when you're looking at it as a disaster, that means you're looking in the rearview mirror.
That's right.
You're looking back. You can't do anything about that. You can't, you know, maybe you had to quit running because you had an injury. Okay, you can't do anything about that.
Right.
So quit looking in that rearview mirror. But we do that. You can apply this to so many areas of our life. I'm putting it to a house or running injuries, but, you know, a job loss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're basing on everything going forward based on what was. And that is not healthy at all. It's look at it as an opportunity. You know, I talk about Dave Ramsey on here a lot, and people will call in and they'll be down in the dumps. And they'll say, you know, I got laid off from my job. And Dave Ramsey will always go, great. What are you going to do now? And it's like within 2 minutes, he has that. He's really good at changing their perspective because they called in down in the dumps because they got laid off. And a lot of times before they get off, they're all excited about the possibilities. You know, they got a severance pay. And he's like, great, that's just a signing bonus.
Yeah.
For the new job. And it is. It's all about our perspective. And so what advice would you have for someone who's starting over? Look at it as an opportunity, not a disaster.
Yeah, that's a good point. I thought about it from this standpoint. Be patient and give yourself grace too, right? When I ran that 20:04 for that 5K, you know, again, I was devastated. And I really wondered if I could ever get back to it again. But over time, mm-hmm. I just kept working at it and working at it and working at it. I had to be very patient to get back where I wanted to be. And I had to give myself some grace again. I would get through with a race and I'd be like, oh, still not fast enough, you know, and I would beat myself up a little bit, but only for a little while.
Yeah.
And then I would move on. You got to be okay with being patient and realizing that that everything, when you have to start over, it's not going to come back instantly.
Yeah. And I'll never forget a lady, Kathleen, that used to be the Southeast coach for Lane's triathlon team. She made the comment one time, and I think we've talked about it on this podcast. She would always give athletes 12 hours, I think, whatever the time frame. After athletes have a bad race, it's okay to mourn. It's okay to be upset. All those emotions are good. But you got 12 hours.
Yeah.
After 12 hours, forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Use it to prepare yourself for it. Because what we do is we carry it out for 12 days or 12 months or 12 years even.
Yeah.
And that does nobody. Use it to propel you forward. But don't let it drag you backwards like it does so many times.
Well, I just went through that with a 100-miler. I didn't finish.
Right.
Now, I got an email from somebody this week who said, you know, I know that's probably weighing heavy on your mind or whatever. And I'm like,
I don't think it is.
It's not.
If I know you.
Yeah.
Was for a day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You were like, okay.
Yeah. And I was pretty upset about it for a day.
Yeah.
But past that, it's like, okay, now I have.
But by the next podcast, you were okay with me busting your chops about
that's right.
It.
That's
and
right.
Christian and whoever else.
That's
you know,
right.
It's okay.
And I have a choice. Right. Yeah. Now I'm going to look back at that, the rearview mirror. I'm looking in the rearview mirror going, okay, I don't want that experience again. But what can I do looking forward to make it different next time?
Mm-hmm.
And if I choose to do it again, it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go into it I'm not going to go into it thinking, oh, what if I fail again?
Yeah.
I'm going to go into it going.
Because if you go into it thinking like that, you're gonna fail.
That's right.
You're gonna fail.
But I won't go into it like that. You know me. I'll go into it going, there's no question I will be finishing this thing.
Yeah.
I don't care if it takes me six
days. We'll be picking your legs up on the side of the road
that's
before
right.
you. Yeah.
Another question. Do you have a go-to Bible verse in times of adversity?
For me, it's 23rd Psalm.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's a lot of people's go-to, but yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Yeah.
There's no greater promise.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just no greater promise.
Well, you know, mine's similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the bottom of all my emails, I have Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's a couple of things in this scripture that speak to me. First of all, it just like you're saying, God's there. Mm-hmm. He says he's there. But I like this particular verse because he doesn't just say that he's there. He starts it off by saying, have I not commanded you? Mm-hmm. In other words, he's saying, look,
you're not listening.
I've told you before.
I told you back in Psalm.
That's right.
And you're still not getting it.
And I'm going to tell you again.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's going to tell me over and over again.
365 times.
That's right.
Do not fear.
That's
all right. The way through the Bible.
That's right. And yeah. And I just like that. I like because I feel like he's speaking directly to me.
But you know, it's so good because, I mean, think about the big things that you've had to do in life or the scary things that you've had to do. I was just recently talking to somebody that was going to do something pretty daunting. It was repairing a relationship, and it was very daunting. It was scary, a lot of anxiety, and that person just wanted somebody to go with them. Mm. That made all the difference in the world, was just having somebody with them. Well, that's what God's telling us in the 23rd Psalm in Joshua 1:9 is, you've got me with you. Mm. Sure, you can't see me, but just like I can't see the wind. Yesterday afternoon when it was blazing hot and I was walking south, man, that wind felt so good.
Felt good.
Couldn't see it, but it was there. And if you will lean on God, it'll be just like that wind.
Yeah.
You'll sense his presence and know that he's there.
Mm-mm. Last question. What is the advantage when you have to start over?
Learning from your boneheaded mistakes.
It's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I have to do that a lot. Yeah, I think there's something said for recalibrating. You were mentioning before, you know, when you're building a new house, you're just kind of, you're recentering your whole life, basically, mm-hmm. when you do that. When you move to another age group,
yeah.
you know, in a sense, you're starting over.
And some people say, oh, I'm getting older. And other people, like you, say, new age group.
Yes. I can't wait.
Yeah.
When I turn 60, the steeplechase barriers drop 6 inches.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
And I don't compare my racing times to when I was 18. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. if I do that, I'm going to be depressed. Mm-hmm. But I don't do that. I compare them to what am I doing now in this current age group. So I think there's just a way to reorient yourself and recalibrate the way you think about things. When somebody starts the couch to marathon, a lot of times, you know, the early stages are really, really easy for them. Mm-hmm. You know, some people go into that and they're reasonably, they may not be super fit people, but they're reasonably fit people. And the 5K challenge seems like it's almost a joke to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so easy.
Yeah.
And they want to do more right up front. And I'm like, no. Just take it. Enjoy the time.
Sure.
When it's relatively easy, because it's going to be, there's going to be a time when it's going to be hard and you're going to be pining for these days when it was easier. So it's recalibrating the mm-hmm. way you think about things, right?
Yeah, man, another good example, and because we're about to go through it, you've already went through this, you're a little bit ahead of me in this aspect, but how many couples, their marriages struggle when the kids leave?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I think that they're looking to the way it used to be. They miss
That's
their
right.
kids. And yes, I'm going to miss my kids mightily when they leave. But I'm already talking about grandkids. I mean, my kids are 18 and 21 years old. And I'm already like, okay, I'm ready for grandkids.
Yeah.
And but it's there's two ways of looking at even that. You can look at, oh, just it's not the same. No, the only thing guaranteed is that nothing stays the same.
That's
and
right.
If you constantly look forward and, like you said, reset your brain. Plus, I've heard that grandkids are just way better than kids because you can spoil them and send them home. Everything, yeah. I've said this, everything that I used to get upset at my mom and Holly's parents for,
you're going to do.
I'm going to do the same exact thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy them that set of drums and I'm going to send them home with them on Christmas. So, Donna, if you're listening, you were right.
Yeah. You know that now.
Yeah.
You're willing to be a big man and admit it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, too, when you're starting over, like we've been talking about this whole thing about starting over. And here's the way I look at it. Let's say that I had to take a year off from running because something happened and I had to take a bunch of time off for however long off for running. I had to start over again. You know, right now, my goal is to run 60 miles a week. Well, 60 miles a week takes some time to run 60 miles a week. If I start over, I'm probably going to start over at something way less than that. And it's going to take me way less time. Mm-hmm. So there's a positive aspect of starting over is it takes less time to get more benefit, right? So there's always a more positive way to look at everything if you'll just look for it.
Yep. Got to find it.
It is so hard to stay on track as a runner or a walker. The world also makes it difficult to stay on track spiritually, too. For pennies a day, Upward Sports Run for God Run Club can make both of these journeys more fun and much easier. Join the Run for God Run Club and get access to training plans, videos, and the best group of active Christians you will find anywhere. Go to runforgod.com and sign up today.
Man, I don't know how people live in those big cities. Golly. I made two observations while I was there, okay? You notice that in the bigger cities, that there, a lot of people walk a lot. Mm-hmm. They get in a lot of exercise because they walk a lot. They don't drive their cars as much. And so that's great, right? But the flip side of that is they're way more stressed than we are here. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking it's a wash. They get the extra exercise, but they're stressed.
I don't think it's a wash. Small town's way better.
Well, I think a small town's way better. But
yeah.
I did get a chance to run in Central Park, though.
How was that?
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, Central Park is amazing.
Is it, when you were running, was it like crowded?
Oh my goodness, it was crowded.
I mean, like you were having to weave in and out of.
Yes. Okay. It was crazy crowded.
Yeah, I didn't know because it's, I mean, the trails there, there's a lot of pathway, right? I mean, it's.
Yeah, it's mostly paved stuff.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of gravel stuff, you know, like fine gravel type stuff, but mostly paved. But yeah, it's great. And I mean, it's great to be around a whole bunch of other people running, too. Yeah. So it's not like it's a bad thing. And we went on a Saturday, so it's probably more crowded on Saturday than it is any other day, I would guess. The part that bugged me the most was it cost us $12 for the turnpike, $17 to go through the Lincoln Tunnel, and then over $40 to park. So
$75, $80 to go run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I did get to run in Central Park, and so that was cool. So
yeah.
I basically ran one lap around Central Park, so I went all the way, all four corners of Central Park with a few side quests and running around the Great Lawn and some other things. I got in an 8-mile run. So that's a pretty big park when you can run 8 miles without really retracing your steps at all.
Yeah.
And it's right there in the middle of that big concrete jungle, which is pretty amazing. We also went to Times Square, almost by accident, but we went to Times Square. And I'm way more impressed with Central Park than Times Square. I was not impressed with Times Square at all. But I'm sure on New Year's Eve, maybe it's a really fun place. Although it wouldn't be fun for me.
You could not pay me enough to go down there on New Year's Eve.
No, me neither.
No way.
Me neither. No. But it is great that they have such a cool place to run down there. I did get passed once in the park by somebody running faster than me. You know, again, this isn't to brag, but I don't get passed it when I'm out running very often.
Sure.
And so that was a kind of a cool thing was to have that happen.
Did you try to latch on to him and go with him?
I did.
I didn't expect any less.
I know. I hate to admit it. But I also found some other places to run, too. I found a beautiful park in Rahway, New Jersey, which is also the site of a federal prison. But this park was beautiful. A nice path that went through these neighborhoods and was very quiet and off the road. It was pretty cool. Again, really crowded. the park was. I didn't have to dodge as much as I did in Central Park. But and then on another day, I found a park near Rutgers University, which is my father's hospital that he was in was near Rutgers University. Mm-hmm. So I found a park there. They have lots of nice parks with lots of places to run. So sure. It was pretty cool to see. I did see a cricket game going on there. I want to sit and watch a cricket game one day.
Well, there's one just right over the hill here.
I know, and I keep saying one of these days I'm going to drive by there and see them out there playing, and I'm going to stop and watch.
Me and the boys stopped and watched one time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it cool?
Yeah, I couldn't understand it. I just and one of the guys was trying to explain it to me. It reminds you of baseball, but they bounce the ball when they're pitching it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind
of... And they use a paddle instead of a bat.
Yeah, it's... but yeah, I mean, they spent a lot of money on that place over here, just over the hill.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's there's a lot of people out there on the weekends.
And there's like fair territory behind the batter too, right?
I don't know.
I think you can actually hit it behind you and stuff. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. But I'd love to learn it. So one of these days I'm going to go check that out. They need a schedule so that I know when they're playing.
They probably have one.
They probably
you just
do.
Don't have
just
it.
Don't, I just don't know where to find
You've
it.
You've not been invited, Dean.
Well, it's a time for Dean's Thoughts. That's a time when I share something I've written about the intersection between running and faith. Well, we've been talking about the city versus the town, and this one is called Big City versus Small Town. I live in a town of less than 1,000 people. As I drive through Cahutta, things are spread out and there's little traffic. The people are laid back and friendly. We like to think of it as Mayberry-esque. I just got home from spending almost a week in the New Jersey, New York area. I ran in some very nice parks, including the most famous park in the world, Central Park. Not surprisingly, that first ever public park in our country's history was designed by one of the most famous landscape architects, Frederick Law Olmsted, who also designed the grounds around the Biltmore Estate. The parks were beautiful, but they were crowded. I have never seen so many runners who were not in a race in my life. I ran for 8 miles, dodging and weaving the entire way. The houses in that area of the country are narrow, and they're so close together in many instances that you can't drive a car between them. We're more spread out in Cahutta, often living on land measured in acres rather than feet. There's a big difference between the two areas, for sure. So which one is better? Neither and both. I think it all depends on what you're used to. I can tell you this, as I was driving back into my neighborhood, I thought it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. But there are people who live near Central Park who don't even own a car. They would feel like a fish out of water in my neck of the woods. We tend to adapt our comfort zone to what is around us. So, if you're new to running or walking, it is a little like me moving to the city. I can't imagine living in the city, but if I lived there for a while, it would become more comfortable over time. And that is why you need to keep forcing yourself to get out the door and go for a run or a walk. Eventually, you can get comfortable with it, but it doesn't happen in just a week or two. It takes perseverance, dedication, and a willingness to work through the uncomfortable phase. Learning all the subway routes and schedules would be overwhelming for me at first, but once it is all internalized, getting around the city would become much easier. Likewise, once you build a routine into your running or walking, it just becomes part of who you are, and then it's way more fun. When you first start reading the Bible, it often doesn't seem natural. One of the reasons why I enjoy the Bible so much is that I have context. It takes a lot of reading to gain that context. For example, the New Testament is sometimes quoting from the Old Testament. In the exchange between Jesus and the devil in Matthew chapter 4, the devil quotes scripture to Jesus. When you know what he's quoting, you recognize instantly that he is taking it out of context. It makes the story more impactful. And knowing that the evil one quotes scripture tells us that simply memorizing scripture is not enough to save us too. When you understand that scene in context, it is much more powerful and instructive, and the Bible is full of direct quotes and allusions to other parts of the Bible. The more you read, the more interesting it becomes. So when you pick up something new, like running or reading your Bible, give it some time. You will adapt. And when you do, it will be far more rewarding than you ever thought.
That's a great story, Dean. You know, I laugh because I'll never forget the time you came in when we were in Cahutta, when the podcast studio was in Cahutta, and you came in late for a meeting, which you only live, what, a mile and a half, maybe?
It's less than a mile.
So less than a mile. And you came running in, and you said, that darn Cahutta traffic.
Yeah.
There's one stop sign.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, I don't have any interest in living in an area like that at this stage of my life.
Sure.
I did live in a city at one time. I went to Georgia Tech, so I lived in the city, in Atlanta. I lived on campus for 3 of the years that I went to school there. But I never really, I feel like I'm more of a country type person. Mm-hmm. But the point is, though, is that if I had to, then I could learn to love it.
Sure.
And if I needed to, I would learn to love it, right?
It's a choice.
That's right. That's right. So when you start something new like running, it's really fun when you first get started. Then the new wears off and it gets really hard. Mm-hmm. But then there's during that period where it's really hard, if you'll be persistent, you'll get to a point where it's not new again, but it's a different kind of fun.
Right? It's kind of like even in the period of a single run, you know, right when you walk out the door, it's like, oh man, this feels good. But then, I don't know if you're like me, but that first mile or even two, it's just like, ugh, this is horrible. But then you get into your rhythm, mm-hmm. and it's great. So you start off good and you finish great, but there's that period of time, and really anything you do, where it's the learning, the news wore off, it's a kind of a drudge, but then you get the hang of it. Everything gets lubed up and moving right.
Yep.
And it's great.
Yep. And the main thing is your attitude. You have to have the right attitude. You have to be open to the fact it's going to feel better. Because the truth is on that run, if you felt bad in those first couple of miles and you just dwelled on it and thought about how terrible you feel, you're probably not going to feel good for the rest of the run.
Right.
But if you look at that as, you know what, I feel a little sluggish a lot of times at the beginning of my runs, and eventually things will work, then it will. You
what just I think, therefore I do.
I think that, again, the city's not for me, but I could learn to like it if I wanted to, because I would change my attitude. And when it comes to change, attitude is the most important thing. Right. Mm-hmm. We see it in things like AA. Mm-hmm. What's the first step of AA? Mm-hmm. Recognize that you have a problem and put yourself in the right orientation for solving that problem. It's the same thing with everything that we do. But here's the problem
with salvation.
But here's the problem with running, is that society tells us running is not a good thing. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Running tells us that that's what you do.
It's bad for your knees.
It's punishment. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be miserable if you do it. Mm-hmm. And that hurts. Yeah. Right. If you get that in your mind, then that's why a lot of people don't run, just because they think, well, it's going to be miserable. But you got at some point in time, people in Run Club have figured this out, that you get to that point where you realize, you know what? This isn't nearly as bad as everybody makes it out to be.
Well, because a lot of times, especially in Run Club, they're changing their environment. They're starting to listen to people of like mind within this community who have a different perspective than maybe those that they work with or those that they talk to on a daily basis that says this is bad. We were talking about some things on the news earlier, and you were talking about there's some people out there that just don't know. They never hear the other side, and it's important. I mean, even as a Christian, it is important that we at least in some degree educate ourselves on the other side. It's where apologetics comes from.
Yep.
It's because we have to be ready, because there is that other side, and we have to be prepared to have a little bit of knowledge about it so that we can offer a different perspective. But if we don't know the other side, that's why we've talked on here a lot about people that we encounter that are lost and they're so vile against, you know, what we stand for. They don't know.
That's right.
You can't really throw stones at them because they don't know. And that's why we have to look at them differently than maybe we want to, because there's no way to reach them unless we look at them as if they don't know. And our job is to tell them. It's the Great Commission.
Yep.
He didn't. Jesus didn't say, go tell everybody that knows about me. He said, go tell everybody.
Yep.
Including, and most importantly, the people that don't know.
And we have to take advantage of all the tools that we have. So when I was living in Atlanta, I never used MARTA. That's the subway system in Atlanta. I never really used MARTA. I never really got into all the benefits of living in the city. So I don't like living in the city, but I never took it. One time, we went on MARTA one time. I had a friend of mine who was really down in the dumps. Something had happened, and we took him to the museum, and we went through we went on MARTA. That's the only time I've ever done it as part of living in the city. The other day when we went to Central Park, the truth is there was a train station not far from where we were, like a mile from where we were. We probably could have drove to that train station, figured out the right combination of trains and subways to get to Central Park, and never had to get in our car.
And probably saved $60.
And would have saved a bunch of money. I didn't take advantage of it. And the same thing, to me, if you don't learn how to defend your faith, you're not taking full advantage of everything that you get. You don't have the whole experience, right? And so I think having the whole experience is important. And it goes that way with running too. Get all of the experience, not just a little bit of it, not just the part that you're comfortable with. Try those things you're not comfortable with, and you may find that bigger experience is more rewarding and certainly from a defending your faith standpoint or from a sharing your faith standpoint, it's going to be way better.
Sure. Right?
There is no better way to start the day than in the Word. Our Bible in a Year challenge is a great way to start the day in the Word as I read through the entire Bible in 365 episodes. I also share running and walking tips each day, as well as encouraging quotes. Choose the self-paced challenge so that you can go at your pace. You must be a Run Club member for access to this exciting challenge. So, if you're not a member, sign up today and get started. If you are a member, what are you waiting for?
Every week I share a reason why running and or walking is so awesome. This week, well, it's a great stress reliever. I'm sure I probably used that one in one of our other 220 other episodes, but I couldn't help but think about it in context to those big cities and just looking and seeing that so many people are so stressed in those areas. I think I'd have to run more if I lived in the city, right? Because we can get, you know, stress causes cortisol, which is a negative thing and it's bad for us. And stress relief, we reduce cortisol, and running does that, reduces cortisol. And it also releases endorphins, which is where we get the term runner's high from, is the release of endorphins, and makes us feel better. And so there's a scientific reason why we feel better. And we know that stress leads to health issues, right? And this is part of the reason why. It even suppresses your immune system. A lot of people don't pay attention to the fact that the more stressed you are, the more likely you are to get a cold. Because you suppress your immune system when you get all stressed out. So
yeah, I mean, a lot of people out there who may smoke, I mean, running or going for a walk basically does the same thing in a lot of ways that smoking a cigarette does without all the adverse health issues. You know, a lot of people smoke because it's a stress relief. When I smoked, that's exactly what it was for. I mean, it just kind of calmed you down and going for a walk. I mean, after 5 hours in the car yesterday, I went out for, you know, hour and 15 minute walk. Felt like $1 million when I got down.
That's awesome. So, yeah.
Don't smoke. Run or walk.
That's right. Well, you know what time it is? It's NCAA track and field time. I know
you were dragging a little bit this morning when you came in.
Yeah. You're probably going to be up all night long probably watching.
Oh, you bet. Yeah. Not really. No.
But I will be. Yeah. It's 4 days long. So last night they had the prelims for the guys. Tonight they have the prelims for the women. And then they'll have the finals for the guys.
What channel is it on?
For the women. It's on ESPN2.
I may watch 10 minutes of it tonight. Just for you, Dean. So what's going on, though?
Well, right now, they just got started. So Habtum Samuel won the 10,000 meters last night. So that's the
one. See, I don't have to watch it. I have you.
That's true. That's true. You will like to hear this, though. Georgia is in second place right now on the guy's side because, you know, there's been very few finals. There have been some field events in the 10,000 meters. And the guy from Georgia won the javelin. Mm. So they got a guy who can throw stuff a long way.
Mm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, here's a pretty cool announcement that was made last week. This comes from Sebastian Coe of World Athletics. The World Athletics is the governing body for track and field. And he announced this new championship for the years that comes between world championships and Olympics. So every once in a while you get this off year where there's no world championships because it's every other year, and there's no Olympics because it's every 4 years. The next year that's going to happen is 2026. So they're going to have what they're calling the World Ultimate Championships. They're going to take the top 16 athletes from each running event and the top 8 from each field event. It's going to be multiple days long. It's going to be done in a 3-hour window, which is one of the things you'd probably like about the NCAA track and field meet.
I could handle that.
The NCAA track and field meet is jam-packed. It's like it moves way faster than track meets you normally see.
As they should.
As they should. I totally agree. But the thought is that, of course, track meets are a little bit too long. We agree with that. And so they're trying to do something about that. There's going to be a semifinal and a final again, just like NCAA's has. But here's the difference. There's going to be $150,000 for the winner of each event. And there's going to be money for each of the top 8 in every event. So they're giving away $10 million in total. Obviously, they found somebody with some deep pockets to fund this thing. But I think it's great for track and field because one of the things that I fuss about track and field about all the time is we don't get the best athletes together except every 4 years for the Olympics. Even the world championships, there's a lot of people who take world championships off. So this, I feel like, is probably going to bring out just like the Olympics do, it's going to bring out the best athletes every year. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this goes. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I might watch it. If they're condensing it down to 3 hours, that means without commercials and everything, maybe you condense it down to hour and a half, 2 hours. Or is it the actual event is 3 hours?
I think that 3 hours a day. It's going to be over multiple days, though, so that there's qualifying. You know, you have the qualifying and then probably a day's rest and then a final or something. I don't know. But
Speaking of Olympics, before we move on to the trivia questions, a big shout out to a young man that I know is one of Lane's buddies, but Chase McQueen. He earned himself a spot on the Olympic team.
Did he really?
So he'll be competing in Paris for the triathlon. So congratulations to Chase. Really top-notch kid. I say kid. He's in his mid-20s now. But just congratulations to him. It's cool to know a name personally headed to Paris. So,
and it's really cool to have known him when he was little.
Right? Yeah, I mean, he came up through the ranks, you know, him and Lane. And, you know, Lane spent some time with him and Dar Smith, you know, back during COVID, actually. Dar and Chase were kind of quarantined just south of here, and so Lane trained with him some. And so anyway, really good, top-notch guy, so congratulations to him.
That's awesome. Our trivia question for this week, since we just mentioned Sebastian Coe, he is best known for being a runner back in the 80s. So here's my question. What was his event, and what was his fastest race ever? There's a significance to it. And so, Sebastian Coe, who was he? What event did he run? And what was his time, or what was the significance of the event that he ran? You can send that to dean@runforgod.com. And if you're the first member to answer that question correctly, then you will win $20 off in the Run for God store. We had pretty good participation the last couple of weeks in the trivia, so keep it up. Our motivational thought of the week comes from St. Francis de Sales. He said, "Bloom where you are planted. Every soil has its wonders." Isn't it funny how these things come up and they just fit the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that one so does, right? Doesn't matter if you're in a big city, small town, There are opportunities that are unique to wherever you are. There are people to reach for Christ wherever you are that we don't have here. And we have to take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
Right? So find somebody in your area today. Tell them about Jesus and what he's done in your life. And you just may find a friend for life.
Sure.
Until next week, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
Good job, Dean.
For more information about the Run for God ministry, go to runforgod.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There's nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.